Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We have the tech to get food delivered in 15 minutes, but we all have horror stories about buying tickets. The Game Time app gives fans the advantage. Get amazing tickets in just a few taps. Fees are included, so what you see is what you pay. And the Game Time guarantee means authentic tickets at the best price every time. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets to concerts, sports, comedy, and more with Game Time. Download the Game Time app and create an account for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply.
Hello everybody, welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. This is your latest Manchester United transfer news, and we've got a David Ornstein bomber this morning. Out of nowhere, Man United are in for Somerville of West Ham, a left winger who I think most of us would be very, very excited about bringing to Manchester United as well. Also, Rashford could be on the return. This is also coming in from David Ornstein. And talks continue with Fernandes. We'll tell you all about David Ornstein's article because there's quite a lot in there this morning. Also, Tonali talks, not with Manchester United at the moment, but with Tottenham. So Romano and Ornstein dropping a couple of big transfers updates over the last few hours. We'll be delving into that, of course, getting your reaction and your thoughts on it. But let's start off with this story coming in from David Ornstein, essentially saying that Manchester United are interested in West Ham's Somerville, not just Matheus Fernandes, but we like Somerville as well. Saying this, Man United are weighing up a move for Somerville as they continue assessing options for the left wing position. The 24-year-old West Ham winger is high among the names under serious consideration at Old Trafford, with initial inquiries already made. Any deal for the Netherlands international is expected to cost around £50 million. It's interesting, isn't it? Because there was a story from somebody not that long ago saying that United wouldn't be looking to go for Hall and Tonali because they'd cost about 120 million quid. And yet Somerville and Fernandes will cost about 120 million quid. You wonder what's better for United, Hall and Tonali or Fernandes and Somerville. But one's a left back, one's a left winger. I think in the market of left wingers, what we do have to remember here, and I don't want to put a Debbie Downer on it straight away, but Somerville would be at least plan C. Remember, Semenyu plan A, Yan Diamande plan B, Somerville plan C. I mean, I think he's a good player, but I think he is exactly what I've just described there. He would be plan C. It's not like what Liverpool might do with Diamande or what Man City did with Semenyu, that he wouldn't be plan A or B. But when you don't get plan A or B, you end up having to move on these types of players. I like Somerville. I do. I don't know that he's... There's an element of risk there because I think when you go for a plan C type of signing, that's what can happen. There's definitely an element of risk there, of course. But, you know, I think United do need to be looking at these types of options and these types of players because we probably do, in my opinion, need a left winger. So, just to give you a little bit more clarity on it, let's have a look. Sorry, I've completely missed where I'm meant to be reading here. Yeah, okay, this is the David Ornstein bit. It says, United have inquired about the situation with Somerville and will be aware that it is expected to cost approximately £50 million with a contract until June 2029. Much will depend on the future of Marcus Rashford, given that Barcelona did not activate the €30 million buy option in his second season-long loan. It expired on Monday. As things stand, Rashford returns to United next month, and it's unclear whether a move happens before the window comes to a close. Another switch to Barcelona is not completely discounted, nor the idea of fellow European sides coming in for him. There is a £40 million clause available to all admirers in the Premier League, bar local rivals Liverpool and Man City, and a number of Premier League clubs have expressed interest. But if Rashford goes back to Old Trafford, it is believed his preference would be to honour the remaining 24 months on his deal there rather than join an English club. Such a scenario, in all probability, reduces the chance of United bolting that part of Michael Carrick's squad. It's already a lower priority than the midfield anyway. So, look, the thing is, with David Ornstein, right, for me, there is always this debate about who is more credible, Ornstein or Romano. I mean, they're literally the Messi and Ronaldo of the transfer window. So when David Ornstein says something, I genuinely think, you know, this is probably going to end in a deal. But what we've got to remember is, in fairness, Ornstein over the last 12 months, 18 months, has given stories about players that we don't sign. Like Kenda, he dropped that. We didn't sign him. Belaba, he dropped that. We didn't sign him. So as much as I think David Ornstein's very exciting and very, very credible, he doesn't always drop a player that we're actually going to get anymore. So it doesn't mean we're definitely going to get him. What it means is, for the first time, we have credible information that Somerville is a target for Manchester United. The worry in that is what he said about Rashford. If Rashford comes back, we don't get a winger. And if you're asking me whether I want Somerville at 25... over Rashford, who's going to be 29, it's Somerville every day of the week. I mean, I did worry a little bit. I personally think Man United don't want Rashford back. And I personally think Rashford doesn't want to come back. But if he doesn't get the move he wants, he will come back. And to be honest, one of the problems with that Amazon deal is the amount of people that are going to go, ooh, I quite fancy staying at Man United now. I mean, does Xerxes now fancy staying because there's a documentary going on? We'll have to wait and see. And Rashford might look at it and go, ooh, there's a documentary going on. That would be quite good for my profile in my last year of my contract. So, you know, the flip side of that Amazon documentary is we hope it's going to lead to United thinking, shit, we've got to get in a title race. Let's go and buy some good players. The flip side of it is what sort of players want to stay around because, you know, it's good for their profile to be at Man United, who are in the Champions League with a documentary on their cards. I mean, people go, what are you talking about? But if you think footballers aren't egotistical, you've been living in a fucking cave. So it looks like with Somerville, yes, let's take it on board. It's coming in from David Ornstein very credibly. But it also says if we can't move Rashford on, we won't be doing a deal for a winger anyway. So there's a lot of ifs, buts and maybes there. And I would say that the priority is clearly going to be the midfield first. On the price, a few people in the chat are saying his price will probably be 80 million. To be honest with you, if they want 80 million for Fernandes, but they want £50 million for West Ham, there is a disparity there. Having said that, they have been relegated. So there is some realism about that price there. But I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, within the next couple of hours, Romano says Somerville can leave West Ham, but for £80 million, in which case we won't be able to do that. We won't be able to do it. So, you know, that's the big story this morning, Somerville. It also says in the same article, actually, in relation to Matheus Fernandes, which I think we're all a bit bored about at the moment until we get something really new. He says United are currently focusing, as per David Ornstein, United are currently focusing all their efforts on Fernandes of West Ham as talks through his agent, George Mendes, advance with personal terms not anticipated to prove an issue. Which, as we know, you know, I think we know where we are with Fernandes. It's, are we going to put a bid in this week? Let's wait and see. But look, big news about Somerville there. Let me know what your thoughts are around that. We've got quite a few bits to get into this morning, as I say. Another big story this morning is Tonali. So Tonali, and this is United Wings says, the biggest story is actually the Tonali story. I mean, it is. We were going to lead on this, but obviously Tonali isn't, it's not a direct Man United story. It bloody well should be. So Tottenham, as per Fabrizio Romano, Tottenham have entered the race to sign Sandro Tonali. De Zerbi wants Tonali as the new star for their midfield, an ideal for Tottenham. Spurs are ready to face up to Manchester City and Arsenal in the race for Tonali for their new ambitious project to prove their intentions. I think that what's interesting is that he's also given another update saying that Tottenham believe Tonali's open to joining them and keen on the move, while talks with Newcastle follow on a price/package. Tottenham want to go ahead strong and get it done, as it's a priority target wanted by De Zerbi. So there's a few issues with this for me. Two, actually. First of all, why the fuck are we not involved in this? I mean, to me, I would say over the last 3 months, taking in an average, he's probably my number one target. So I don't really understand why we're not going for Tonali. If Spurs can afford it, it's embarrassing. So we don't want to go for Tonali because we think he's too expensive. But Tottenham, who aren't even in Europe, are moving for Tonali. It's just, it's that old ambition question again, isn't it? You can't just tell this fan base, we like Tonali, but he's too expensive. And then we watch Tottenham make a move. It is embarrassing. It is a lack of ambition. And you know what? A week ago, we had a bit of a disagreement on whether we should walk away from Elliot Anderson. And I said, I don't think you should walk away from any deal where it's a priority signing. And you shouldn't walk away for money. We didn't walk away from Rooney. We didn't walk away from Roy Keane. We didn't walk away from Andy Cole. They were players we wanted. We paid a lot of money for them and it worked out. And I think if we really, really want Elliot Anderson, we should have put the money on the table. We didn't. But here we are a week later, and the same thing's happening again. Tonali, we're walking away from it because it's too expensive. But Tottenham, who finished fourth from bottom and aren't in Europe, they're going to put the money on the table. So justify that one to me. How is it justifiable that United go, that's too expensive, but Tottenham walk in and go, we'll bid for him? It's embarrassing. And also, we better pull our finger out from our arse, because if Tonali goes to Spurs quickly, you can kiss goodbye to Lewis Hall, because they'll have sold Gordon, they'll have sold Tonali, and they'll go, we're not selling anybody else. It'll be, at best, it'll be an Ajax situation where we got Anthony and we go, there's 60 million for Anthony, and Ajax go, we're not selling. You go, what do you mean? We're not selling. We've sold everyone we want to sell. We're not selling. But we really want Anthony. Well, if you want him, it's 90. Oh, there you go. So we'll end up, you know, if we want Lewis Hall, we better bloody hurry up, because if Tonali goes before him, that will become very, very, very difficult to do. And guess what? We'll walk away from another deal because it's too expensive. So I'm a little bit concerned by this, because I can't find any justification as to why we're not looking at Tonali anyway. And if he signs for bloody Spurs, I mean, there's just no excuse. We'll be watching Spurs next year going, why didn't we do that deal? He's 26. He's one of the best midfielders in Europe. And Spurs are in for him. We have to be looking at that deal. But you know why I don't think we're looking at it? Couple of calls I could make. I'm not going to make them. We're not looking at Tonali because he wants over 200 grand a week. And that's it. So Jim Radcliffe says we're not paying over 200 grand a week. So we're not paying over 200 grand a week. So we won't go for players that who want 200 grand a week. It's madness. I hope they cover that in the documentary, that we've got a bloody wage limit at Man United, because it's going to limit what we can achieve. So look, I was a little bit shocked about that. Do I think Tonali will go to Spurs? I mean, I'd be bloody stunned. You know, what is better about Spurs than Newcastle, apart from you get to live in London? I mean, and maybe that's it. Neither of them are in Europe. They've both got big stadiums. I mean, I don't know why you'd do that. I mean, I think if any better offer comes from a Champions League club, Tonali would want to do that. But there is a worrying theme, and at some point it's going to hurt us. We want Elliot Anderson, but we walk away because it's too expensive. We want Tonali, but we walk away because it's too expensive. We want Yann Diamande, but we walk away because it's too expensive. I mean, how many more times are we going to walk away? You might as well get bloody Cass to come and sing. I'm getting more and more concerned that our third midfielder seems to be being briefed in the 25 to 30 million mark, and Fernandez is our tier one, says Joey. Yeah, I think a lot of us are sort of, the jury's out at the moment in relation to what we're going to do in the transfer window. But look, good news in relation to Somerville, but then bad news if we can't get rid of Rashford. You know, Somerville won't happen if Rashford stays. And bad news about Tonali. I would really like him to be, well, look, it's not breaking news to anybody, is it? I really do want him at Man United. I think he's
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Perfect. And also, he has... You know, I know Italy didn't make it to the World Cup, but I was watching their game against Bosnia, and he was the only bloody player that was playing well. He was absolutely, you know, trying to run single-handedly that Italian side, and you see it with Newcastle as well. So when you're looking at Casemiro leaving, you want somebody with a bit of leadership and a little bit of experience. Tonali does have leadership, and he does have experience as well. I think he's the perfect signing for United, and this is the problem, isn't it? It's all well and good saying we're not going for that player because they're too expensive. But when somebody who is lower than us goes for them, it's hard to justify that because it just shows a total lack of ambition and it also shows our place in the food chain. You know what I mean? I think you can justify walking away from Elliot Anderson because Man City are Man City and they pay big wages and they pay big transfer fees. But you can't justify walking away from Tonali because it's too expensive and then Spurs come along and buy him. That would be like saying Somerville's too expensive at £50 million and then Everton sign him. There is a place for Manchester United and it's not getting outbid by Tottenham. If we want to get back to the top, you don't get outbid by Tottenham. It's embarrassing. Especially on a player that, on the market at the moment, is arguably the best replacement for Casemiro. So I was a lot disappointed by that. I don't think he will sign for Spurs, by the way. I mean, this is just like, it's a bit like Newcastle with Sesko. Are Spurs going to be this summer's Newcastle where they bid for a load of players and everyone says no? Because I don't know why you'd pick Spurs, but we're not even in the race at the moment. That's the thing, we're not even in the race. Kyron says, what about Wharton? But look, with all due respect, Wharton's decent, Scott's decent, Fernandez is exciting, but Tonali's better than all of them. And, you know, I'm sure there'll be people in the chat saying Fernandez is better than Tonali. They weren't saying it a month ago. They weren't saying it 2 months ago. That's just the red-tinted glasses and pride kicking in already that it's a Man United player, so they're better than everybody else. I don't need to do that debate because I know 2 months ago nobody was saying Fernandez is better than Tonali. They're only doing it because they think we're going to sign him. Tonali's better than Fernandez. Tonali's better than Wharton. Tonali's better than Belaba. Tonali probably is debatably better than Anderson and Tchouameni. I think, as I've already always said, our marquee signing for the midfield to replace Casemiro was one of four players. Bruno G, Tonali, Tchouameni, Anderson. So I don't remember anybody chucking Wharton in there or Fernandez in there. The top marquee signing replacements for Casemiro have always been Anderson, Tchouameni, Tonali and maybe Bruno G. So I think to watch a marquee top tier signing go to Tottenham whilst we're negotiating with bloody God knows who, I think it's embarrassing. And it does come down to money as well. And look, I'm not going to go down that road again, but as I said last week, it's massively frustrating being run by a football club that, you know, makes its decisions on bloody money. We don't want to go over that. We don't want to pay over that. We don't want to pay that wage. You won't win the league with a board like this. You won't win the league with a board that says we're not paying over 200 grand a week for players. We won't. I mean, it's the most obvious thing in the world. If you look at the wage bill in the Premier League by every club, Man City will be top, Arsenal will be up there, Liverpool will be up there. Around mid-table, you'll have teams like Everton, and down near the bottom, you'll have teams like Hull and Coventry. The wage bill league will be very close to the actual league. And you know what that tells you? The more you pay, the more successful you are. The cheaper you pay, the less successful you are. It's not bloody rocket science, is it? Look at the Premier League wage table. You won't find Man City at the bottom and Coventry at the top. The wage bill league will run much the same as the real league, which tells you exactly how you win the league. You need to spend money. There ain't no bloody team that's going to win the league with a fucking wage structure. It's not going to happen. That's not the way it is. So you know, it does worry me that we've put in a bloody wage structure at Man United. Let me get into some of your comments anyway. Lots to get into this morning. As I said, if you tuned in a little bit late, an Ornstein bomber, Man United are seriously considering Somerville from West Ham. Now, remember with Somerville, he's a left winger. He's 24. I think he's 24. He's right-footed. So unlike Mbeumo and Ahmad, he is, and Dorgu, he is right-footed. So we don't have a right-footed left winger. So he does fit the profile. Admittedly, he's at least plan C because of Semenyo and Gian Diamande not coming. But look, if you want a left winger of what's left in the market, it's not a bad one. However, even David Ornstein says if we're going to move on him, we would have to move Rashford on. And there's talk of Rashford maybe coming back to England if we try and sell him to a Premier League club. And that's a big if. It doesn't say Rashford wants to come back. It says he'd rather run his contract down at Man United than go and play for another English club. A foreign move is still very much on the cards. Alons says, everyone's going Carrick at the wheel. Do people not see games? We were dreadful. Only Casemiro's headers or moments saved us. We don't have Casemiro next season. There seems to be no urgency or competency within the board, says Alan. I mean, look. We're locked into a summer that's about the World Cup and transfers. You're not going to get a lot of people who want to sit and, you know, dissect the performances of last season. But you're not incorrect either. We were very set-piece orientated. And we don't have Casemiro. And I think as well, if you've been watching the World Cup on That's Football with us, we've been discussing this in the watch-alongs on the regular. Even the boring games in the World Cup fly by because the ball's in play so much. The referees have been directed to, you know, five-second throw-ins, quick corners, quick free kicks, quick substitutions. The game is so much quicker. I'd be stunned if that doesn't come to the Premier League next season. So, you know, what does that do to teams that were very reliant on counter-attacking football, set pieces? When the ball's in play more, you defend more. So, and we're going to have to change the way we play because I don't think the Premier League's going to play out like it did last year anyway. Chris Lockett says the documentary could attract new players too. I mean, we don't need the Amazon documentary to attract new players. And you're right, it can attract new players. If we're going to say to those new players, we have a wage structure and you can't get more than 200 grand a week, you'll get a certain type of player. You'll get West Ham players. You won't get Champions League players. We won't get Champions League experienced players with this wage structure. And that's the best way of looking at it. Look at the players that we're looking at. Ederson has played in the Champions League, but he plays for Atalanta in Italy. The wages are crap. He ain't going to demand more than 200 grand a week, and he hasn't. Fernandes and Somerville at West Ham have just been relegated. They don't play in the Champions League. They're not going to demand more than 150 grand a week either. We are, from what I can see at the moment, we are purposely avoiding top level players. We're purposely avoiding anybody that says we want 200 grand or more a week. I think that's wrong. For where we want to go as a football club and what we've just lost with Casemiro. I mean, Casemiro is a 300 grand a week player. We won't replace him with a player like that. We're going to go for under 200 grand a week players. And they're under 200 grand a week for a reason. They haven't played in the Champions League. They're inexperienced. Or they're from a foreign league. Daniel, thank you very much for your super chat this morning. Good morning to you. He says, hi, Mark and the United Stand. Hope you're all doing well. So frustrating that even Spurs are showing more ambition than us with Tonali. Golden opportunities like this don't come around all the time. I just wish we'd at least try. United will regret it if we don't. The only justification for not going for Tonali will be money. That will be it. If Spurs can bid for him, what I was thinking is, are Newcastle driving a hard bargain that nobody, you know, they're trying to keep him? But if Spurs are making a move, Newcastle are willing to sell. And also, has anybody thought of it like this? If you're Newcastle, who would you rather sell to? Man United or Arsenal or Spurs? Man United and Arsenal finished in the top three. Newcastle are going to want to pitch themselves in fourth or fifth. Spurs will be looking at fourth or fifth as well. So Newcastle won't even really want to sell to Spurs. They won't want to sell to United, but if you sell to Spurs, you're strengthening a team around your level. Keel says the reason Tonali might want to go to Spurs is he'll get free Beyonce tickets. Yeah, good point. And NFL. Easy answer, Mark. Our owners don't care, says Keel. Newcastle won't sell us Tonali and Hall. Get Hall now, says Keeping It Real. Well, I think that, you know, if you're like me and you've accepted United are unambitious and they're not going to go for Tonali, you've just got to move on, haven't you? Same as Anderson, unambitious, you've got to move on. Move on to Lewis Hall very quickly. You know, are we going to hurt ourselves with our inability to work on more than one deal at once? David Ornstein said Man United at the moment are very focused on the Fernandes deal. Well, whilst we're focused on the Fernandes deal, somebody might be focused on the Tonali deal. And when that's done, the whole deal won't happen. So if we want Lewis Hall, we should be working on that one as well. Because you want to... I remember doing a video on this in March, probably April. And I said, we're basically in the Champions League. Nobody else is. Newcastle are not in the Champions League. Now is the time to be on to Newcastle saying we want this player. Get in early because they're going to end up selling a lot of players. And once they've sold two or three, they'll stop selling. It's a waste of time going back to players. Wasn't he part of the bomb squad? If Tonali goes to Spurs, it'd be embarrassing. We couldn't get it done, says John United. Thank you very much, John. Gazzy says they literally took Rashford's number away. No chance he's staying. Worst case, he'll get loaned back. I don't see Rashford coming back, Gazzy. It's not even in the title of the show. I do not see Rashford coming back. What I think you've got here is... I'll tell you what I think's happening with Rashford, right? Rashford doesn't want to come back. Man United don't want him back. Rashford wouldn't mind going to Barcelona on loan. Man United want a transfer fee. Premier League clubs are willing to offer a transfer fee. Rashford doesn't want to come back to the Premier League. So what you've got is a bit of a standoff. Rashford don't want to come back. He wants to stay abroad. Man United don't want him back. They just want some money. Abroad doesn't bring money in. Premier League brings money in. Rashford doesn't want to come back to the Premier League. So Rashford says, I'd rather come back to Man United than play in the Premier League. Man United go, shit, that we don't want that to happen. Maybe we should loan him to Barcelona. So I think that in, you know, a minute is what's going on. It's a position of two camps that aren't aligned. And it's about what can be done. Ultimately, we gave Rashford a stupid wage. We wrote that contract. It's not Rashford's fault. He's on 300 grand a week or 350 grand a week. We gave him the contract. That is the killer. Bayern Munich would probably be interested if he was on 200 grand a week. Barcelona would probably be interested if he was on 200 grand a week. We put him on a stupid wage, and now we want a transfer fee as well. We're in the wrong. Rashford's in the right. Marcus Rashford and his agent clearly know the market and they're saying, look, I ain't taking a pay cut because I've got 2 years left of this deal. You want a transfer fee? Well, you gave me this contract. I'm not going to play for a Premier League club. I'd rather come back to Man United. I want to stay abroad. No one's going to give you a transfer fee. You solve it. And I think United are going, we want a transfer fee. We want a transfer fee. But are they looking at the situation? Thank you, Gazzy. Can't believe Spurs are in for Tonali. It's crazy, says Hala Madrid. Would you take a Goretzka as a third midfielder instead of another project midfielder like we're being linked to? The trouble with Goretzka, Richie, is he's 31 and he's never played in the Premier League. And, I just don't think that goes well. Bo Show, thank you very much for your super chat, says interim gets full-time job 2019 and signed rapid winger from the Championship, Dan James. 26, interim gets full-time job. Yeah, do you think Michael Carrick's just gone to Ollie's little diary and blown the dust off and gone, let's have a look. All these transfer targets are embarrassing, says Ami. We used to be linked with the world's best. Now we're linked to tier 2-3 players and below, says Ami. And Owen says, have a good day, sir. All the best and kudos to you. Thank you very much. Kudos was a former West Ham winger. I want to just get an opinion on this. Would you be happy with Somerville? Because I'm getting mixed opinions here. If you want a left winger, he's okay. But I want to make this very, very clear. He's not Yan Diamande. He's not Semenyu. He's not Luis Diaz. He's not a top level left winger. He's a decent Premier League winger. He's not like... He's literally what I said at the start. He's plan C and D. He is not, you know, Liverpool. This is what I mean about ambition. Spurs probably won't get Tonali, but if they've got the money, they've got the money and they want him, right? Liverpool will probably get Yan Diamande. Like, this is where we fail again, because clubs around us are doing better deals, more ambitious deals, trying to do more ambitious deals than us. We walk away from them because we can't afford it. It's getting a little bit tiring to some of us that we walk away from deals we should do and then sign Plan C or D targets. I do like Somerville, but it's not, you know, we were bidding for Semenyo in January. We lost to Man City. We were then going for Yan Diamande and we've walked away from it because it's too expensive. I think sometimes, you know, we should be looking at those types of deals. Let me have a quick look here. It's all kicking off a little bit in the chat at the moment. 56% of you would say no to him. Is he better than Cunha or Dorgu? Alan says Somerville doesn't really get you excited. Look, it's underwhelming, says that. You know what? I want to be really positive about next season. I want to back Carrick. I want Man United to do well. I want this ownership to achieve. My frustration is, I was thinking about this morning when I was on a walk. It's all well and good like moaning. There are moaners in life who will moan about anything. You know, it's raining and then tomorrow it's sunny and they go, it's too hot. They just moan about everything. I don't think, as Man United fans, speaking for myself, I don't think I want to moan about everything. I enjoyed Europa League win with Mourinho. I enjoyed the Europa League win with Maguire against Lyon. You know, those were great. You know, I enjoyed it. 100% enjoyed it. I even enjoyed it when McTominay scored those two goals against Brentford. Some people said it was embarrassing. I enjoyed it, right? But what frustrates me about United is I can see what's possible. I think we can all see. You know, if we had no hope, you know, if we're like Everton, we're never going to win the league, you probably wouldn't moan as much. But because we're Man United, and I can actually see how close we are to being successful, but these bloody prats in charge won't do it, that's what makes me moan. It's the fact that the Yan Diamandes of this world and the Tonalis of this world are in reach, and we go, no, we're not paying for that. We'll get Somerville and Fernandes and Edison. And you sort of like go, I like Somerville, I like Fernandes, and I like Edison, but they're not Tonali and Yan Diamande, are they? And that's where the moaning comes from, because we're literally, you can see the players we should be buying and we can get them. But this board go, not paying that. And you sort of get so pissed off because you're like, our rivals are going to do it. And we're going to sign Plan C and D again because it's cheaper. But if you buy cheaper, you tend to not do as well as everybody else who spent a little bit more. So that's what makes me moan. It's the fact that I actually do believe Man United quite easily could be back amongst the elite. But as soon as we get close, we go, not spending that, let's stick with the option that Everton would sign. And it's like Somerville, for me, I could see him in an Everton shirt. I could. I can't see Yan Diamande signing for Everton. I can't see Elliot Anderson or Tonali signing for Everton. And that's the difference. We should be looking at the players that are the top level players, but we don't. We go, that's a little bit expensive. So I like Somerville. It's not the level we should be going for. I like Edison. Again, it's hard to judge Edison because it depends what the midfield three are. If you do get a Tonali or a Tchouaméni with Fernandes and Edison, it's a good midfield. If you get Edison, Fernandes and Tyler Adams, it's uninspiring. So yeah, I think we'll have to wait and see how it pans out. I've been sent a couple of things here. Yan Diamande was wearing a Man United shirt when he was a kid, apparently. I mean, if we sign Yan Diamande, then that would be incredible. Absolutely incredible. Let me just catch up on some of your comments. I would rather have Tonali than Tchouaméni, just my opinion, but will not mind either. But we can't just bank on Fernandes and Edison's as arch. I would take either of those two players. Absolutely either of those players. I'd rather take a risk on a youth player, to be honest, as John. It's about 50-50 on Somerville. 53% don't really want him and 47% do. Which, again, if I'm being completely honest, that's not the right side type of signing, is it? If a fan base is 50-50, it's not a great start. I think that tells you everything. I mean, I'd take Somerville over keeping Rashford, but as I said, there was a really good target we should have been going for, and it looks like we've backed out. We pay Bruno 350 grand a week. To win the league, we need more Bruno-level players, says Vibhorse, in each position. Ergo, they need more 300k plus wages players. It's hypocrisy. Jack Buckley says, Somerville over Rashford to me is mind-blowing. Yeah, but that's because you're not using context, Jack. If you put Rashford up against Somerville, I completely understand what you're doing. But we're throwing everything in, aren't we? Age, what's gone on, wage, who is happy with who. You can't just say Rashford's better than Somerville, let's bring Rashford back. His shirt's not available, he doesn't like United, they don't like him, they don't want to pay the wages, he don't want to take a pay cut. You know, it's not as simple as Somerville over Rashford in the sense of what you're looking at. I wish it was that simple, but it's not, is it? On Somerville, a good player, but indeed it's moving down the order of targets again, but good player and one to watch. Sorry for always going on about Tonali, says Daniel. I wish bloody Wilcox did. Marlowe says, again, we're only going to get third or fourth on our wish list. We need to get better on the market, but only what's left in the market. It's embarrassing, says Marlowe. I'm probably going to do a video on the Amazon stuff. Won't be today, maybe tomorrow, because I've took a load of notes on it, and I think it's going to be something that over a couple of days we'll probably have more and more thoughts. But I have seen some people saying that the Amazon documentary is a bad thing, like they're dead against it. I don't think you can be dead against it without it having actually happened. But I do think that... sorry, I've just had a call from someone.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
I do think that the concern about the documentary, in a very, very quick assessment, is how United perceive it. I said last night I'm quite excited about it because, to me, it's a rocket up the arse. If I'm Sir Jim Radcliffe, I'm inviting the cameras in and we're going to get the piss taken out of us the minute we lose a game. And if we lose loads of games, we're going to get ridiculed by our own fans and everybody else in football. We are opening the door for £10 million, which is not a lot to a football club, to be ridiculed unless this goes really, really well. And going really well means no embarrassing results all season and doing well in the Premier League, the Champions League, and probably the domestic cups. Like, any failure is going to get ridiculed. That's our mentality. What worries me a little bit is Man United have gone, it's 10 million quid. What can go wrong? It's 10 million quid. They've got an inexperienced coach that could completely and utterly fuck up. They've got a team that overachieved because it was playing once a week and relied on experienced players, one of which isn't here anymore. And they've got a board that's consistently made mistakes on their judgment, whether it be managers or signings, right? There's a lot of things that need to go right next season. And the documentary makes you think, well, we'll make sure it goes right. But only if you trust this ownership. If they've gone, everything's going to be okay, it's £10 million cash back, they might be walking into their own stupidity. My opinion is you'd be absolutely motivated to make sure everything is perfect next season. And that means you go and get really good players. If they don't, they're just taking the money, aren't they? And they don't care about reputation, which I do care about reputation. I do care about Man United being dragged through the mud. I do care about us being laughed at and the piss taken out of us. I'll be very annoyed if they've just took the 10 million and they don't do anything to make us good next season. They just go, well, it's 10 million quid, you know. Because we shouldn't be opening the doors to that documentary unless we're absolutely ready to open those doors. You know, if you're Man City and you've just won the treble and you keep everybody together and you buy a couple of players, open the doors. For us, it could be a shit season. Red Devil Girl says, Somerville, 5'9", bullied off the ball very easily, poor in the air, not a touchline winger, thought we were trying to build a title contending squad. You know, Red Devil Girl, I'm going to say this right now because it's been in my head all show. We won't sign Somerville. We won't sign Somerville. It's just a feeling. I'm not, you know, I might be wrong, but, you know, we're allowed to make a prediction. I think England are going to win the World Cup. I think Harry Kane's going to win the Golden Boot. I think United will finish in the top five next season. I've got no real evidence behind that, but we won't sign Somerville. And I'm not saying David Ornstein's not correct, but everything he said doesn't always happen anymore. You know, Kenda didn't happen. Belabor didn't happen. So I don't think we'll sign Somerville. I don't think we'll sign Somerville because I don't think his price will be 50 million for a start. I think West Ham will say 70 and we'll walk. But and also, as Savage says, David Ornstein hasn't said we're going to sign him. He said we've inquired about him and there's serious interest. I think that what United are doing to journalists now, they're going, David, Fabrizio, we're interested in this player. And then they put the story out and it doesn't happen. Who broke the story in March about Bruno Guimaraes? Fabrizio. We're not signing Bruno Guimaraes either. So I don't know whether it's United's fault, but as good as some of these journalists are, they're not always breaking definitives now. Sometimes they're getting information and it's not actually being followed through. Surely, if we can't get top shelf targets, Wharton comes back into the equation. More of a six than other second half shelf targets and way better than Belabor. I feel like when it comes to Wharton, and I don't want to say this, but I will. I feel like when it comes to Wharton, we will probably go for Belabor before we go for him. That's my thought process on it. Jadon Sancho's gone. Don't worry about him. I'm just having a look at this David Ornstein article. Anana is set to return to Carrington. From Trabzonspor, they do have a desire to sign him again, but there's not a wealth of other interested parties. Look, Anana's on 125 grand a week. No one's going to pay that, and no one's going to give us a transfer fee. So what will happen with Anana is he'll go on loan again somewhere at some point. We won't be selling Anana. No one's stupid enough to do that. That won't happen. Vitek, I think we might sell Vitek, you know. Just another prediction. I think Vitek will get sold. I do not think he will want to come back and be a reserve goalkeeper for Manchester United, because that's what he will be. He won't be a player that gets game time, really, because Le Mans is going to be our goalkeeper. So I think that Man United either need to loan him or I think we might sell him. I think we might sell him, if I'm being completely honest. Also says United have also explored the parameters of a deal for in-demand Bournemouth midfielder Alex Scott, who could be available for 60 million this summer. Bournemouth insists he's not for sale, however, and they're trying to include a release clause in a new contract. So Adam Wharton still being mentioned. Another one as well that we haven't mentioned. This is just in the Athletic article. Obviously, we've mentioned about Somerville. Other considerations include Belabor, Tonali, Wharton, and Fulham midfielder Sander Berg is another player that United are now running the rule over as an option. United considered him in 2024 and he has a chance to cap an impressive season at his first World Cup, Fulham would want to make a profit on the £25 million they paid 2 years ago. So Sander Berg is now back again. Right, there's nothing wrong with Sander Berg. He's 28 and he'll be 29 in February, and Fulham would want a profit on £25 million. That's a problem. Also, there's a huge issue with a midfield that is Ederson, Matheus Fernandes and Sander Berg. A huge issue. So be worried about that. That's in The Athletic. Sander Berg gets a whole paragraph about Man United are running the rule over him. If our midfield three is Sander Berg, Ederson and Fernandes, that's terrifying. I'm sorry, it's just there's not enough quality there on paper. United's interest in left-back Lewis Hall remains, although Newcastle are not looking to sell. So that's that. Just a bit about the World Cup. World Cup section. We've got... we're doing our World Cup watch-alongs on That's Football. They've been going really, really well, so make sure you're getting yourself over there. I'll be live. We've got a 2 o'clock show. I'll be live at 7 o'clock tonight because I'm doing three watch-alongs tonight. So 8 o'clock, France-Senegal. 11 o'clock, Norway-Iraq. And then 2 a.m., Martinez, Kansas, Argentina-Algeria. So three watch-alongs. That's Football tonight. I'll be absolutely knackered by the time we hit 4 a.m. But that's what we're doing. But more importantly, the reason I mentioned World Cup, our World Cup watch was Agate last night. If you stayed up to watch Uruguay play Saudi, Agate played last night. He did hit the post with quite a good shot, but there was nothing in that performance that would make you... I mean, I would describe Agate's performance from a Man United point of view as perfect. He didn't put in some sort of Buadi worldie, which makes you think, I don't trust anything in this World Cup. And he didn't put in a good enough performance where he sort of like get United fans going, we don't need another midfielder, we've got Agate. So I don't want that to happen with Agate because he needs to be moved on. I don't think he was shocking. And I think there will still be interest in people taking Agate in the sense that maybe, you know, an Italian or a Fenerbahce or a Turkish club on loan. But... He wasn't great. But Hockey Sense says, what about Agate to Milan to rejoin Amrin? He was all right last night. I agree with Khan. I'd be very surprised if Ruben Amrin took Agate to AC Milan, considering he didn't really use him that much at United. So I would be quite surprised about that one. But he didn't stand out as... amazing. He was just okay. Denise says, if we had a plan, we've had a year to plan ahead for our midfield, which has been neglected for so long, but I can't see the plan early, but I do worry for Carrick. Denise, it's still relatively early in the transfer window, but there is still a lot of work to be done. United strategy should be going for top two targets. If we don't get them, believe in your scouts and go for Dorgu and Lamont's types. Signings not like Somerville, says Ball, Bale, Wall, Justice. Danny says, hi, Mark. Compare Tonali's stats to Fernandes or Scott. I mean, I'm not going to do it now, but what I would also say, Danny, is why are stats relevant? I mean, as I've always said, stats should be supportive, but the eye test is the key. And Tonali is on a different level to Fernandes and Scott. It's very obvious. If you disagree with that, that's absolutely fine. But I don't need to go and find a stat that makes it look like Scott's better than Tonali. Tonali's better. As I said, some people will be saying Scott or Fernandes are better than Tonali now because they're closer to United as targets. But when we were talking about midfielders in March and April and February, no one was saying Matheus Fernandes or Scott. They were saying Tonali, Anderson and Tchouaméni. That's what we should be looking at. You know, we might have to make do with plan C, D and E, but we should be going for plan A's, in my opinion. Cunha and Mbeumo transfers have ruined it. Board thinks that that is how the norm is as opposed to exception. No way we can get that quality that cheap again, says Sam. Yeah, but Cunha wasn't cheap, £60 million. And Mbeumo wasn't cheap at £65 million. They did cost a lot of money. The problem is their wages were cheap. That's where you're right, Sam. I think United think you can get good players for 150 grand a week. That's where we have a false perception of reality. The reason Cunha and Mbeumo's wages were cheap is because at Wolves and Brentford, you don't earn massive money. If you want a Champions League proven player, they'll already be on a good wage and you have to pay for it. United don't want to pay over 200 grand a week for anybody. Well, you're going to be shopping in a very, you know, you're going to be shopping in a shop where most of those players haven't played Champions League football and aren't particularly experienced. Good players want 200 grand a week or more. And we need three or four players like that. Arch says, I'd rather have two. I've done that one. Thank you very much. Romano said in his YouTube video that Tonali is expected to cost 85 million. How are United not in this deal? It's crazy. It's the wages, mate. Daniel, I'm telling you now, it's not even the transfer fee. It's the wages. United appear to be obsessed with not paying anybody over 200 grand a week anymore. And that's a ceiling that's going to stop us, you know, hitting the stars. It is, in my opinion. Gary Owen says Newcastle would rather deal with Spurs than us, plain and simple. I disagree. I disagree, Gary. I mean, I do. I think if you're Newcastle, you're looking at this season and you're looking at fifth. That's your ceiling, right? Man United, Arsenal, Man City should all be in the top four. But they're not competing with us. Spurs aren't in Europe and also look at fifth. I think Spurs are more of a rival than us next season for Newcastle. If I was Newcastle, I'd sell to Man City or Arsenal over Spurs. Definitely. Definitely. But we'll see. Kieran says, I think the Amazon deal is to get fans distracted. I'm excited about the Amazon deal. The issue with it is, it's not Amazon. It's not you or me. Amazon will want Man United to have a really interesting and exciting season. That's what they're paying for. We as fans will go, well, a really interesting, exciting season is a title race. If Man United don't think like that, they might be going, it's 10 million quid. It's 10 million quid for letting somebody come in with some cameras. If they've got that mentality, we're in trouble. What they need to have is, forget the money. This is an opportunity to expand our brand so that loads of people watch Man United. Let's make sure we're good. This is an opportunity to, you know, bring more money into the club from brands. It's not just fans, by the way. You know, if this documentary goes really good, you know what modern people are like? They'll start supporting Man United. So there is that opportunity for United that if we do well, we'll get more fans. But also there's the opportunity, if we do well, we'll get more brands. So it's an opportunity to make money. But that's only going to work if we do well. And to do well, we need to spend. Put it simple, with this documentary, it's a huge opportunity, but you have to do well. Anybody with a brain would be signing Yann Diamande, not Somerville. Anybody with a brain would be signing Tonali, not Sanderberg. Like, it's obvious, but it's whether United's mentality is that or not. We'll have to wait and see. Patrick Lynch with the Super Chat. Thank you, Patrick. He says, Somerville is decent, but I don't know if he's decent is good enough. Measuring him against Cunha and Mbeumo, he isn't the same level of game changer they were for their previous club. 50 million could be spent better. I think this is a look. Patrick often is the voice of reason, and I think this is a very good comment because it's a great comment, in fact. It's 50-50 exactly on whether you'd sign Somerville, by the way, in the poll. So thank you, everybody who voted on that, because we've had, you know, well over 5,000 votes and it's locked on 50-50. Would you be happy with Somerville? But what Patrick says is true. Are we lowering our expectations or are we actually trying to catch the Arsenals and the Man Cities? Because a year ago, we spent 60 million on Mbeumo and Cunha independently. Mbeumo had a load of goals and assists for Brentford and Cunha single-handedly kept Wolves up with a load of goals and assists. Somerville, a year later, we're going to spend £50 million on him. He's had an okay season for West Ham. He hasn't had an Mbeumo season at Brentford and he hasn't had a Cunha season at Wolves. So Patrick makes a very good point. While Somerville's decent, last year we bought two players from similar level clubs who were star players. Somerville hasn't contributed that much to West Ham. It's a good point. Thank you everybody for watching. We're back at 2. I've got my England preview going up on That's Football actually at midday. And I'm with you at 7 p.m. tonight. I think this week, basically the 8 o'clock's at 7 o'clock. I don't know that there is a... Because England tomorrow night as well. I don't know that we've got a 8 o'clock show at all this week. But 7 o'clock will be live. Great show, everybody. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Please do subscribe to the channel, bottom right-hand corner, if you haven't done that. We're getting very close to 270,000. So bottom right-hand corner to subscribe. Great show. Lots to discuss in the show today as well. Enjoyed that. I will speak to you all in a bit. Stay safe, take care, and I'll speak to you all in a bit.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus, terms and conditions apply.